again. I practice family medicine in Greenfield. I practiced at Shadyside for 35 years. I was chief of family medicine for 8 years, and thankfully, I'm retired from the administrative side and the hospital practice side for 3 years. Big smile. I have a public health background. Prevention has always been especially important to me, all kind, cancer, cardiovascular, and now addictions. That's why I'll be in jail. I'll be with kids, taking them through the jail. We have an organization in our community where my wife and I have been very dedicated to the community over the years in Greenfield. Our group is called GOAD, Greenfield Organized Against Drugs. We happen to have been ahead of the curve on the opioid crisis. We're in year 17. The opioid crisis is in year 5. The only reason I tell you all that is because tomorrow morning I'll make sure I bring a bunch of packets that we deliver to kids to read and get smart and protect themselves and to share with their patients. And then if you have interest in further activity on your own or for your patients, that will be very good and appropriate. Our patients come to us for information, straight scoop. In early intervention, families and the addiction process is a family and social disease, and they come to us for direction and prevention. So that having said, I will bring some information for tomorrow morning. I'll have them at the desk for you all. And I'm very pleased that tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, we have a very important presentation about managing patients with substance use disorder and getting them through the process safely. That's a very important skill for us to know about and have. So I am done with these responsibilities. But it is my pleasure to tell you a little bit about and make an introduction for the Medicine Made Ridiculously Simple. These talks is a competition for our fellow trainees in the Department of Medicine. Our trainees are challenged to present a controversial or often confusing topic from medicine in a short 10-minute summary, then the break. We've asked a few of our last year's participants to join us. So our next presenter is Dr. Brianna Ketterer, MD. Dr. Ketterer is a hospice and palliative care physician trained in internal medicine, who's working toward her master's in medical education at Pitt. Her educational interests include teaching, communication, and primary palliative care skills. Welcome, Dr. Ketterer.
All right, good morning. I'm Dr. Brianna Ketterer. I'm one of the second year hospice and palliative medicine fellows. And today I'm gonna talk to you about disclosing medical error, made ridiculously simple. So, by the end of this talk, I expect you all to be able to describe the error mnemonic so that you can use this next time you're in a situation where you need to disclose an adverse event or medical error. So let's start with a case. We have Mr. Alfred Flutter. He's a 75-year-old man. He has AFib flutter, and he's on warfarin. He has COPD and CKD on dialysis. He developed a productive cough and fever while he was visiting family in Pittsburgh. And then he's seen at your institution and started on levofloxacin. You know that crazy Pittsburgh weather? Well, 4 days ago, he slipped and fell on some icy sidewalk. And now he has a large ecchymosis on his right side and some rib fractures. You check his INR, it's now 8.2. Previously, it was therapeutic. Mrs. Flutter, his wife, wonders, what happened? Her husband's INR has always been 2.5. So, you think back to your pharmacology days. And you remember that this error was actually that there's an interaction between warfarin and levofloxacin that increases his INR. So take a moment, reflect. How does it feel when errors occur? It doesn't feel good to us or to the patients, whether this is an error, an accident, a near miss, or system failure. We feel terrible, and so do the patients and families. And then we have to think about disclosing this error. And we stop. Why do we stop in our tracks? Why is it so hard to disclose? It's fear. It's that fear of blame, repercussions in litigation, and all of those emotions that swirl around. Anger, guilt, inadequacy. And yet, on the other hand, we know that disclosing medical errors decreases physician distress and promotes emotional resiliency in our work. And it offers a way to discuss the event, engage in corrective action, and show empathy through acknowledgement and apology. And patients want it. They want to know what happened, why it occurred, and what we are going to do to prevent it from happening again. So now, thinking back to the Flutters case, what might you do? What have you done in the past? Let me guess. You took a deep breath, you sucked it up, and you just walked into the room, right? Yeah. But there's got to be a better way. So let's think of a ridiculously simple framework that we can fall back on. So here you go. Error. It's a thing that occurred and the thing that can help you to disclose it. In five simple steps. E, an explicit statement that an error occurred. R, report what happened and why. R, respond to emotion. O, offer an apology. And R, recurrence prevention. Now, let's take them each in turn. So first, an explicit statement that an error occurred. Use the words error or mistake. Patients want to hear that. And then pause. Let it sink in. It might be as simple as saying, an error occurred while we were taking care of your husband. Or, Mrs. Flutter, we made a mistake. Now, you have to report what happened and why. Now remember, this is the area that we're often all too good at. We like to talk too much. So, don't forget to avoid medical jargon. Keep things in bite-sized chunks. And again, pause. So in this case, it might sound like, your husband was given an antibiotic for the infection that interacts with his blood thinner. This led to his high INR. That's why he had so much bruising when he fell. So after you've given the news, you should expect emotion. First, check your own, and then look to patients and families. This is the place where statements of understanding and respect can come in helpful. So for example, if Mrs. Flutter said, you're supposed to be a top-tier institution. How could you let this happen? You might respond with, I can't imagine how hard this must be to hear. Or, it must be really hard to trust us now. And if she says something like, I knew his INR couldn't be that high on its own. I watch his diet and I give him his medications every night. You might respond with, I can see how hard you're advocating for your husband. Or, you're right, you did everything right. Now it's the opportunity to offer an apology. Here, remember to be sincere, to take accountability. Don't offer excuses and don't ask for forgiveness. That puts the focus on the physician and not the patients and families. So, think about what you might say. Is it different if you're the one who performed the error? Or if it's your trainee? Or somebody else in the healthcare system? Night float, a different team, the emergency department. Just reflect on that. What words might you use? Here you might say things like, I apologize. I didn't remember to check the INR before adding the new medication. Or, I am so sorry. Ultimately, I'm responsible for supervising the team. Here, reflecting back to those fears and that fear of litigation, it's important to know that studies show that patients prefer an explicit apology, and while it's not a panacea, there is some evidence to suggest that it decreases litigation. Lastly, time to discuss recurrence prevention. What corrective actions are we going to take to try and prevent this from happening again in the future? And here it could be as simple as saying, we're going to come up with a system that checks patients' home medications with the new ones before we prescribe them to make sure they go together safely. So, in the end, we are all human. We all make mistakes. Despite all of our best efforts, they will occur. So for our own emotional resiliency and for that of our patients, we need to disclose these medical errors with humility and integrity at the time that they occur. And now you know, it can be ridiculously simple. You just have to remember, error. It's the thing that occurred and the way to help you disclose it. An explicit statement of the error reporting what happened and why, responding to emotion, offering an apology, and recurrence prevention. And I just want to take a couple of moments to acknowledge Dr. Amanda Brown. She's one of the palliative care physicians in the Department of Pediatrics, and she created the error mnemonic as part of her medical education master's project for the pediatric residents. So, thank you all. Have a great rest of your day.
Great job, Dr. Ketter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great job. Okay, we're very close to being on time for the break. Boss,
yes. Okay, we'll meet back here at 10:30. So be here sharp. Thanks.